very pleasant good morning to you and welcome to The Deed of Inheritance. We are sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And we sure hope you're having a wonderful morning today. I'm Fiona Pishka, and I'm here with my husband, Pastor Doug.
Good morning, and we're glad that you're listening to this broadcast.
Amen. And we have a lot in store for you today. We sure hope that you stay tuned and listen to the entire program. Today, Pastor Doug and I will be teaching together. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he is the most important person that's here on this earth at this time.
Amen. And so you want to stay tuned to find out why and how he could be a help to us in this time of our life. Well, before we get started with all of that, of course, we always like to let you know what's happening at Victory Christian Fellowship. And this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. here at the church on February 9th, we will be having our women's meeting.
Yeah, so ladies, come out and enjoy a great Bible study and wonderful fellowship.
Our women's group is called Woven, which stands for Women Overcoming Victoriously Enjoying New Life. And that is something that we certainly strive to attain to give to the women, that they have information to go away with that will encourage their life, that will have them live a victorious life.
Yes, victory is important.
Amen. So come, ladies, if you are available Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We usually get finished around noon, and it is here at our church in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And Palmyra is not very far, Pastor Doug. I know a lot of people might have not even heard of Palmyra, but how far are we from Harrisburg, from Hershey?
I would say probably around 15, 20 miles from Harrisburg, 9 miles from Hershey. We're right next to Hershey, actually. So
yeah, so we're not very far away, in case you're listening to the program and thinking that we might be far away. And the other thing that we have going on is on Tuesday, February 12th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., our church will be open to the public. Of course, we're open to the public all the time. But on that day specifically, we're opening the church up, and we're creating an atmosphere that people can come in during that time frame on their lunch breaks from work, or if you are someone that does not work during those hours, or you're staying home or something like that, you are welcome to come to the church. And at that time, we'll have it available where Pastor Doug and I will be available to pray with anyone if that's needed.
Yes, we just want you to come and come into an atmosphere that's going to produce peace, and you can experience the presence of God, and you can pray. Take your lunch break and spend that time praying and watch what God does with that.
Amen. You'd even be able to read your Bible if you just want to come into a quiet place and just meditate on the Word of God. And we, of course, will have some music playing in the church, and just create an atmosphere where God can speak to you clearly and you can hear His voice. So don't miss that opportunity. If someone that you know is work in this close vicinity, let them know 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, February 12th. This is the first one we're having of its kind, and of course, we will continue to have them all the time.
Yes. And also, as well, if you wanted to come to our church any Sunday in February, my wife and I, we are ministering on relationships, and we're talking about building kingdom relationships, and we're talking about marriage and the family and children. And if you need help in any of those areas, come and get wonderful information that will bless your life.
I know this past Sunday we taught together. We taught about marriage, and some of the things that we talked about were pretty important. If you'd like to hear that message, actually, we have it online on our website at www.vcfpa.org, and just click on free resources, just as you can for this program you're listening to right now. So send it to a friend. If you have a friend that's having issues in their marriage, if you know someone that's about to get married, you don't want them to get married without some of this vital information. So we encourage you to make use of that time. Of course, this entire month we're doing that, Pastor Doug. So
yes,
Next week we'll be teaching again on relationships. I know some of the things we covered were we give out some buzzwords.
Yes.
For a successful relationship. You know, some of the words that we talked about were honor and protocol, you know, openness and honesty, communication and listening. How many people like to hear about the communication and listening part, and love and giving?
Yes, and agreement, you know, and we believe that for a relationship to be successful, people need to be quick to repent and quick to forgive. That's a key that we've practiced in our life. And it doesn't matter who's right or wrong, but who's going to be the big person and take the first step to make things right.
Amen. So. And of course, we did discuss as well how a marriage is a reflection to show that the relationship between Christ and his church.
And really, it's so important to talk about the truth about marriage, because marriage is under attack these days. There are other influences that want to define marriage, but we know that the only place that can truly define it is the Word of God, because God created it.
Amen. So it doesn't matter what level of marriage you have, if you've been married 2 months, a year, if you've not been married yet, or if your marriage is blissfully happy, there's still some information in here that you could use, because we just don't talk about the relationship of marriage, but we talk about the purpose of marriage.
Yes.
What it is that we are married to do. What is it God wants to do through marriage? So this is all great information that you can keep coming back to our website if you are unable to come to our service and listen to these teachings, and of course send it to friends and family that need the information.
And you know, speaking of a marriage, God has given us his own personal wedding planner.
Yes.
Called the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he is preparing his body for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's true.
You know, the Holy Spirit is like Abraham's servant Eliezer, whom he sent out ahead to find a wife for his son Isaac. And the Holy Spirit, he is here to help us and to bring us into all truth, so we can kind of just transition into that right now. But before we do, why don't we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you thanks and praise for this day. Father, thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for your anointing that will go over these airwaves today. And Lord, I pray that you would cause people to inherit your promises and to experience their blessings. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, in talking about the Holy Spirit, I really love talking about the Holy Spirit. I came to know him at a very young age. And, you know, Jesus is our example in everything. And I want to bring out some truth about how the Holy Spirit operated in the life of Jesus. And we know that, first of all, you know, for someone to be born into the family of God, they have to be born of the Spirit. And we know that Jesus was born of the Spirit because the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 35, he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy thing, or the offspring which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God." So we know that Jesus was born of the Spirit.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that we know that Jesus is referred to in the, you know, from us, and as we read the word and we learn more about his coming, is that he was the second Adam.
Yes.
And we know that in the beginning, in creation, it is evident in the word of God, if you read Genesis 1, that the Holy Spirit was present there as well.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit was present when man was being created, because God said, "Let's make man in our image." And the Holy Spirit came on the scene again when Jesus was being created.
That's correct. And you know, for all of us, if you want to partake of God's kingdom, we have to be born of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a religious leader of his day, and Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3, and Jesus said, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh," or physical is physical, "and what is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so each one of us, like Jesus, we have to be born of the Spirit in order to partake of all the benefits that he has in his kingdom and to be a member of the family of God. We have to be born into his family.
Yes. And you know, I think for many Christians, realizing that when they become born again, or when they receive Jesus as their Savior, I don't think they ever doubt that the Holy Spirit then dwells in them.
Yes.
I think the problem lies in what happens after that.
Yes, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But, you know, I like what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25. And this is from the Amplified. It says, "You have been regenerated or born again, not from a mortal origin or a seed, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God." So, you know, we were born of God's word, which originated with God's Holy Spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit in us when we're born again. But there is a secondary, I wouldn't call it secondary, there's an extra bonus.
Yeah, another level,
yes,
I'd say.
Another level, that's a good way to say that. And we know that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And that's, you know, he told his disciples, he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you and he shall be in you. Now that little word "and" is a conjunction that is connecting two thoughts. And it's bringing two thoughts together. With and in are definitely two different experiences. But we know when Jesus was baptized that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended on him. And then God spoke out of heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And, you know, Isaiah tells that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. So we know that even in the Old Testament, the Bible prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come upon Jesus, and that's really how he performed the miracles that he did. Because he didn't perform any miracles until he was baptized.
Yes, that's true, because then, except for, yeah, that's true.
Because the Bible says the first miracle was when he turned water into wine,
yes,
at the wedding of Cana, and that was after he was baptized,
yes,
by John, and John saw the Spirit coming on him.
Right, and now a lot of people, we just want to make clear that the Holy Spirit is not a dove.
Right.
The symbols used is just a symbol. The other time that the Holy Spirit, that a manifestation of what physical would look like the Holy Spirit was with tongues of fire.
Yes.
That came on the in the upper room as they were praying in the upper room.
Yes. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, first of all, he is a person. And he is holy. He represents the holiness of God. And he comes to help us. He comes to empower us to live the life. He helps us to be like Christ. And that's really what it's all about.
So if we are confessing that we are a Christian and our desire is to be like Christ, you know, we had those bracelets years ago. They came out with "What Would Jesus Do?"
And yes,
the premise was we just want to do everything that Jesus would do. I tell you, one of the things Jesus did do is he did operate by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the fame of him spread through the whole region round about." How come he wasn't famous prior to that?
Because the Holy Spirit, he can do what no one else can do for us.
Because when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, God's power literally came on him and, you know, it enabled him to do mighty things. Now we know John said that he has the Spirit without
measure.
So there's no individual today in the body of Christ that has the Spirit without measure, but corporately as a body, as the whole church universal, I believe has the Spirit without measure, but not one individual as was in Jesus' day. But we can use the Holy Spirit and his might to help us do what we need to do.
And the Bible does tell us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us.
Yes.
That quickened him out of death.
And, you know, that's interesting. The same Spirit. So Jesus even told his disciples, he said, "The works that I do, you can do also, but greater works shall you do because I go to the Father." So we have the ability to do greater works. We can see more people saved. We can see more healings take place because Jesus, his ministry was about 3.5 years. And he completed his mission. But We as a church today, we still have a mission. It's called the Great Commission, and we're called to tell people all over the world. And, you know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says this, "For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him permanently." So that tells us that he had the Spirit operating in him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that means you and I can be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well.
Now, what is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Well, that word to be baptized means immersed. And it is an experience that follows salvation. Because we know from the book of Acts that the only requirement that people needed to receive the Holy Spirit was to be born again and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. John said of Jesus, he said, "I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, water cleanses, but fire empowers. Fire, you know, I think of a locomotive. When they ran on coal, they would have to feed the fire. And the hotter the fire was, the more powerful that locomotive was, the more the faster it could move down the tracks and the more powerful it operated. But the fire was the source of that power in the locomotive. So, you know, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's something that's available to every believer.
Yes. Now let's talk about the thing that is the most controversial thing about the Holy Spirit in the Christian world, and that is speaking in tongues.
Yes. Speaking in tongues was an initial sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But, you know, there are benefits to speaking in tongues. They did it in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, the initial filling, there was 120 people in a service. They were in the upper room. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that word tongues just simply means a language. And the ability to speak in tongues is when the Holy Spirit empowers you to speak a language that you've never learned, that you've never studied, and that's not native to you. It could be a known language on this earth, or it could be a heavenly language.
And, you know, I think when we submit to the Holy Spirit and we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as we call it, the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I think that shows another level of submitting to God, of submitting our lives to God and not holding back, because that's saying that we want, you know, a lot of people get spooked by the idea of speaking in tongues because it's to them it's gibberish, or they don't know what they're saying and all this. But see, when we try to understand what it is we're saying to the Father, many times we could control things. You know, if you're praying in your language that you have learned, that is your native language, and you, if your mind can't wrap itself around healing, and you start praying mm-hmm. that you be healed of something severe, or somebody else be healed of something that is labeled terminal in this world system, then your mind might not be able to complete that prayer thought because you just can't wrap yourself around that. There's no way you could confess that out of your mouth. But the Holy Spirit always prays the perfect will of God because he is one with the Father too, just like Jesus was. And he can't say yes. anything otherwise than what is absolute truth because he is the Spirit of truth.
Yep. Now, number one, when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to individuals, you're speaking directly to God. It's a way of divine communication. You know, in World War II, I believe it was, we used the Navajo Indians, and there was no other country that we were fighting against could understand their language, and so we used their language as a code to communicate where the enemy could not intercept the message. And tongues, God empowers us to speak directly to him. And It takes faith, really, to operate in tongues. We get hung up on the tongues. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for power, but tongues is like a byproduct. Tongues is a product of it. So we speak directly to God.
Yes. And you know, in Psalms, it talks about deep calling unto deep. And many times as people here on the earth, we are coming against a lot of cultural things. We come against a lot of things that you hear that is considered doable and not doable. And in today's time, I see the Holy Spirit as a quickening tool in my life, because he is able to get right to the bottom line.
Yes.
He is able to communicate with the Father exactly the perfect will that the Father had laid out for me before ever I even came here. And you know, in this time and age that we live in, we have the BlackBerry, we have the PDAs, we have the computers, we have email, we have voicemail. All those tools were created to make things easier for us to communicate.
Yes.
And why is it, as Christians, there is such a block on the easy thing that God created for us to communicate with him, which is the Holy Spirit?
And really, what's the biggest problem that we face today? Identity theft.
Yes.
And if someone can interrupt the means of communication to take your information, see, now the devil wants to cause identity theft to every person in this world. He wants to steal their identity. But we have to identify ourselves with Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, God has a wonderful ability to be able to communicate with everybody. He knows us individually. He knows how many hairs are on our head. And tongues is a way why he can communicate to us on a spiritual level.
Yes. And it is not, our mind is unfruitful, where that is, we don't get to censor it with our mind when it's being done. However, the edification of what happens to us as a person is built up through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because really, tongues is spiritual.
Yes.
It comes directly out of your spirit, and it goes directly to God. You know, and the Bible says that when you don't know what to pray for, or how you pray, or how you should pray as you ought, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will pray through you with groanings and others, you know, that cannot be uttered. And he prays out that God's perfect will. That's Romans 8, 26 and 27.
And see, the Holy Spirit is not here to do our job for us.
Right.
We were sent here to do something. But he is here to give us maximum help.
Yes.
We should be the ones excelling in life. Christians should be the one that excel in everything they do.
Yes.
Because we have the added benefit of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
That could quicken everything we put our hands to, could prosper. But sometimes as Christians, there's nobody putting their hands to anything.
Right. And, you know, the book of Jude, verse 20, it says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so praying in tongues is a way that we can edify or build up or energize us spiritually. It would be like charging a dead battery. You know, you take power from one battery and you charge a dead battery, and it causes the vehicle to run. Well, tongues is something that does that for us spiritually. It energizes us. It charges us. You know, it builds us up. And without being built up, we cannot do what God wants us to do.
Exactly. If we do it, we'll do it tired. The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit can quicken a mortal body to do things that in the natural seems impossible. And I say that if we have this power available to us, why are we fighting it? Why fight the power of God?
I mean, if God didn't want us to have it, it would never be in the Bible. But there are more than two or three examples of people who spoke in tongues throughout the book of Acts. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. And look at what he produced. He wrote half of the New Testament. Do you think that tongues helped him do that? Absolutely. You know, and how many, you know, our minds can get in the way of receiving from God.
And we cannot receive fast enough in our natural mind what it is God wants to give us. I mean, and think about the person, if you were like 60 years old and that's when you got saved, mm-hmm. you might have lived your whole life not even touching one of the things God asked you to come here to do.
Yes.
Well, then you need some quickening. You need something to help you speed up that process so that you could get caught up, so to speak, in your purpose.
Yes.
And what you're here for.
And, you know, 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about that if we're going to understand God's plan, they have to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So if we're spiritually weak or spiritually deficient, we're going to miss what God wants to get to us, because it's no different that when your body is weak, you're susceptible to virus and disease coming in and wreaking havoc. But when your body is strong, you're able to resist that evil influence. But we need to keep our spirits strong. And one way to do that is to pray in tongues. And because when you pray in tongues, you bypass your mind,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing, because humanism,
yes.
is a big enemy of the gospel today. When people try to intellectualize or they try to put God in the minute box of our minds.
Yes.
He cannot fit.
You know, the one thing I find interesting is of recent, we've talked with and read a lot of books and talked with a lot of ministers that have that used to be in witchcraft. They were mm-hmm. like witch doctors or they were sorcerers. And the one thing that you hear in common with all the stories I've heard is that they cannot stand it when a
yes.
Christian starts speaking in tongues.
Yes.
It totally throws them off their game. They
yes.
don't know what to do, and it makes them terribly angry and upset. And now that in itself should be proof to us what a powerful tool. It's not just a weapon, but it is also a tool
yes.
against the enemy, that it's a strategic plan that you're setting up for your life that the enemy cannot infiltrate
yes.
and cannot crack the code of, to know what it is the Father has planned for you.
And I think where we've missed it as the church is we've gotten confused between the private practice of tongues, which you can pray in tongues, you can worship in tongues, and the public ministry of tongues, which requires an interpretation because God wants the body to be edified. But let me just go over these benefits again. You can speak to God when you're speaking in tongues. You edify yourself. You can even pray to interpret what you're praying in tongues. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:13. You can bypass your mind. Tongues are assigned to unbelievers. You can pray out God's will. You can worship in tongues. You can sing in tongues. And it's a sign of being filled.
Yes. Now, you just talked about, you know, the ministry of public ministry of tongues and then the private. That's something I know that people are a lot, get quite confused about. So maybe in another program, we can cover those,
yes.
That aspect of tongues, so that it's cleared up for everyone, so they understand the difference between praying in your private closet. And that doesn't mean that's the only place you're allowed to pray in tongues. When you're in your worship service, when you're singing and worshiping God, that's part of worship.
Yes.
Is to be able to pray in tongues and worship as a congregation in tongues
yep.
to the Father. Because sometimes in a service, there are strongholds and things happening because people come in with all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
In a church. And sometimes the only way to break it, really, is to pray in tongues
yes.
and watch things happen in God's presence.
Because that makes you more sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You know, it helps you to be led by the Holy Spirit much easier
yes.
because you're built up. And, you know, someone may ask, well, does God speak in tongues? God has the ability to communicate with everybody in every nation.
Yes.
Because there are people from different countries who have heard God speak to them. So, yes, God does speak in tongues.
And I'll leave everybody with this thought. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I do not want God to be silent in me.
Exactly.
And I certainly don't want to be the one to put words in his mouth by only speaking my language, because then
yes.
I'm putting words in his mouth.
Yes.
So I believe the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit, is capable of speaking for himself and speaking through me.
So our inheritance is we have been given the Holy Spirit, who helps us communicate and walk with God. And then we can receive from his teaching, his guidance, and his leading in our lives.
Amen. Well, call us at 717-838-2033 or visit www.vcfpa.org. God bless you.